Blog Talk Radio.
On the Edge, real talk about real issues.
Welcome to the On the Edge Show with Katie Bonnet and friends. I'm your host, Katie Bonnet. Happy Tuesday, everybody. It is Tuesday today. I've been off all week. I just thought yesterday was Tuesday. Everything was just going crazy. It's the snow. I'll tell you that right now. All right, well, we want to thank God for another day of being here because we definitely know that with everything going on, tomorrow's not promised. I want to thank every single one of you who has joined in yesterday on that very important panel discussion that we had regarding the Michael Dunn verdict. All of you have such great input, and I want to thank again Mr. Kenneth Foote and Ms. Carmen Cologne for their input, as well as all of my panelists that were on there, supportive as usual. So let me first start out with our shout-outs to Mr. Barry Mason, formerly of 98.7 KISS FM Radio in New York City. Currently with iFloRadio.com, you can hear Barry do his thing on Saturdays from 7 to 10 p.m. and again on Sundays from 6 to 10 p.m. When he's not giving you the best of music on the radio, he is graced in New York City with the best of live R&B events. Those of you know about the 2014 So You Think You Can Sing competition, that was just a tip of the iceberg of what Mr. Mason does. And to my team, Lady Diamond, Elaine Yeves, slowly headed back into the studio with us from her medical leave, and we will have DJ Domrecker Rodney Williams slowly returning after his death and his family. We have Mr. Monster Miles, our sports dude, who will be returning shortly, and all of you sports fans that have been reaching out to me, he will be back. And of course, last but certainly not least, we have Deacon Zeddy Williams, that wonderful activist and definitely an active panelist here on the show from Toledo, Ohio, giving us the best of his input at all times. I want to thank a couple of people before I go into my social media shout-outs. I want to thank Stella Jenkins, Professor Carlton Jones, who also has been an active, wonderful guest speaker as well as a panelist. To Ms. T.C. Price, has become our new regular panelist. To Alison Reese Atkins, who's constantly hitting me up with a whole bunch of social awareness issues and as well as being the active panelist here, I want to thank you guys very much for all that you do on and off the air. Now, to my social media groups, the On the Edge Listeners Lounge, you wonderful bunch of people, to the Black Love and Conversations group and their moderator, Ms. Linda Miller. I want to thank the Black History Suppressed Group's Real World Black News and Discussions group. I want to thank the Black Mamba Capitalist and Higher Research Institute for giving us all of their input and their support. Tonight's topic is no different. Now, before we get into the topic, you know that it's Writers Showcase Tuesday. And I was given a submission two nights ago that was absolutely out of this world. It's by one of a Facebook member that is named Anthony Faulkner, and he was supposed to be here today. If he should come in, we'll get to hear a little bit from him about what inspired him to do this piece. But it's untitled, but it is a wonderful, absolutely wonderful piece, and he is speaking to the Black communities, particularly the women. And after the break, he's our winner of the week for the Writers Showcase, and I will definitely be reading his piece. So with that being said, going out with our pre-break song, we are going to go out with Earth, Wind & Fire's Fantasy, a word from our sponsors, and we'll be back to read off our Writers Showcase winner of the week and get this party started. Talk to you in just a bit. Hang it right here.
We'll be right back.
New York, New York. There's no place like it. You figure that out when you find yourself in a bit of trouble while vacationing or visiting in Florida. And Florida cops are sure as heck not like New York City cops. You're feeling more than put out or simply just confused with it all. But you want justice. You need it to be right, and you want someone who understands where you're coming from. You need Kenneth Foote, attorney at law. Graduate of St. John's University and Florida Stetson University, he'll make sure you're back on track and everything's straightened away. Driving violations, personal injury, drug charges, he's here to work with you as well as for you. Leave nothing to chance. K.L. Foote, attorneys at law, 877-90-FOOTE or klfoote.com. Kenneth Foote, the New Yorker to contact in Florida.
The On the Edge Show with Katie Barnett and friends, the show that gives you real talk about real issues, needs your help. Katie and the gang are seeking out individuals and local business sponsors to help run their projects for youth and minority communities to become re-empowered, featuring programs like the Spread Your Wings Showcase, offering free advertising to up-and-coming entrepreneurs, Youth Day giving public school grades 4 to 12 a taste of the arts, and All Hands on Deck, our new writer's showcase. On the Edge is looking to give back to our communities by giving our youth a future. Your small contribution will make a difference. Individuals or small businesses can choose to be a sponsor for any amount of time. And businesses can also choose to advertise with us at very reasonable rates. Choose any type of show sponsorship, and you just may be a sponsor for a life. Visit us at Facebook at facebook.com on the Edge Show for more information on how you can be a part of our vision. We hope to see you there.
Now, back with more On the Edge.
Welcome back, everybody, to the On the Edge Show with Katie Barnett and friends. I'm your host, Katie Barnett. Okay, this is in the winner of our All Hands on Deck Writer Showcase, Mr. Anthony Faulkner. He sent in a poem that he wrote, and it is apologizing to the black women in the world. And it was one very touching piece, which I promised to share. And I asked him to come in. I'm not sure what happened, but if he should be in here, he'll be able to explain what it was that motivated him. But this is the piece, everyone, and to those of you that this applies to, may you appreciate it, as I certainly did. And it says, ladies, I'd like to take this time to apologize for all the pain and the tears that we men brought into your life, all the lies and deceit, all the promises that we didn't keep, for all the love you tried to share, for all the lonely nights that you had to bear, for always doing what we wanted to do, for never taking into consideration of how it affects you, for neglecting and disrespecting the essence of a love so true, for not bowing out down to our queen and embracing you, for carrying and bearing our children even though you knew we were untrue. The world would be empty without mothers like you. Control of the throne and build homes for our family, even though that's what we men are supposed to do. And for that, beautiful, strong woman, I thank you. You see, every move we make, every breath we take, all comes from the strength of you. We could never be true kings unless we first be true to you. So I'd like to take this time to apologize to you for all men. You are mother. You are father. You are a provider, a protector, a nurturer, a caretaker, the backbone, the strength, and you are truly God's gift to earth, and we're too blind to recognize our presence. Anthony Faulkner, awesome, and kudos to you for being somebody that was motivated by such one of the issues that we face on a daily basis, and congratulations to winning our Writer Showcase. So if you should happen to be listening into this, somewhere, some down the line, I would like for you to interview and let our listeners know exactly what it was that motivated you to write this, okay, and what it is that you do, and help us help you, okay? Tonight, everybody, we are going to be discussing yet another important issue that affects us as a community, and as a society, but mainly our community. And it is the child support issue, and I know a lot of you were trying to give me a little bit of flack, but, you know, I could take it, I could take a hit, and here's the deal. But we're calling this tonight the child support blame game. This is the deal. Child support enforcement is there to to go after a person that is not the custodial parent of a child or children and is not providing, or at least the reports are that they're not providing financially for their children, or they're not actively involved in the child's life. Now, we have heard every particular story there is to those that are on the receiving end of these procedures, okay? Most of the time, it's men that saying, I'm not giving that person child support because all they do is they take it on themselves. Most of the time, they just don't want to be bothered because you know what happened now? That it's gotten to the point that they didn't take care of it for themselves. There's a garnishment in place, which means it affects their pockets and it affects their ability to do whatever it is that they want to do. Let's be straight and fair. There are women out there that are just as much of a deadbeat parent as most of these guys are, okay? And let's be fair on this. Many times, there are a lot of men that are actually doing for their children. They are actively involved. They're very good fathers. They're good men. They're giving money. They're buying their children clothes. But for whatever reason that this person who's going down to child support has in their mind, they are out there using the system in a malicious manner. So we're not referring to those men because those men have the right, and those women as well have the right to be as mad as hell as they'd like to be. Because if you are doing everything you can, there should be no one involved in telling you how to already do what you're doing. But my question tonight is this. For those of you deadbeats that know you are out there not doing a damn thing, there's a parent out there that's trying to make this child's life worthwhile with limited whatever, and it takes two to raise a child. Well, it takes a village to raise a child. But for the minimal least, it takes two parents to create a baby. Okay, regardless of whether or not you want to call her a crazy bee at the end of it all, you want to call him a no good whatever at the end of it, there's a child involved. And whatever actions you two came together to do, produce this baby. Okay, so for those of you that are physically involved with taking care of this child and you don't have the help, and you're trying and you're trying and you're trying, and nothing's happening, and you have to take this avenue, well, to those of you that the avenue caught up with, do you have a right to complain? My answer is absolutely the hell not. If you had to be told by some strange organization that's running your country or running your state what the hell to do with your own child, and that your child has needs, they have to grow, they need shoes and sneakers and diapers and all these other things, if somebody has to catch up with you after months or years on end to let you know this, and you're in the middle of it, and you got garnished, oh, well. It's cheaper to keep her. That's what I say. It's cheaper for you to just do what you know you're supposed to do. You can't dip the stick or take the stick in, and then the baby comes along, and oh, my God, problem, I don't want to be bothered, I don't want to do this. So what? If somebody had to tell you what to do, shame on you. Shame on you. And then you have the nerve to sit there and try to find every which way that you can to say, well, that's wrong and it's unfair. How is it unfair? Tell that to the child that whose mother is struggling, who has to go deal with the humiliation of getting on public assistance because nothing she's doing is making enough ends meet for your grown child or children. Just because you can get up and walk away and you can run off and pretend that those don't exist don't mean their needs don't exist. You can't plug up your eyes and your ears and your mouth and pretend they don't exist and think that really happened. And for those of you that are walking out and don't have the responsibility to physically be involved, that's the choice that you made. You have the option of saying, I just don't have it this week. But the parent that's watching that child has to make that sandwich happen for dinner, has to make that child's school dues happen, has to get some clothes on there. If there's medicine that needs to be paid for, they don't have the luxury of saying, I don't have it this week. So if a bunch of strangers have to come into your pocket and come into your world and garnish everything that there is, and you let that happen, shame on you. I have panelists coming in this evening, and I'm going to bring them in. Welcome to the show, Carly. You're on the air.
Hey, Katie. This is DC.
Hi, good evening, DC. I have a panelist after you. You'll be first in the queue, just a second. Welcome to the show, Carly. You're on the air.
Yes, this is Carlos Hullaby Jones, J-Lo Drinking.
Okay. All right, DC, the mic goes to you. Do you believe that anyone who the courts come after for child support has the right to complain or pass blame when it happens?
Well, first of all, much love to you, my sister, and anyone who is listening, because you might not agree completely with my opinion, but I'm going to ask you to give me the honor of giving my opinion.
Say it your piece, please. We don't bite.
All right. To answer your question, the answer, short answer to that question is yes. Now, this is my position. First of all, we need to establish where child support came from. Child support was set up by our United States government to offset the cost of welfare. They realized that they were giving support for households where men were walking off, and back then it was men walking off and forgetting about their financial responsibility to the children that were left behind. The state said, hey, this is a lot of money, so we need to set up a way of recouping some of that money. When a mother goes on welfare, we need to identify who the father is, and we need to get the courts to put an order in that the father pay child support, and that will lessen the amount that we have to pay as government. All right? Now, since I have touched on the origination of child support, I will further back up my answer by saying this. Two people come together and have an intimate relationship. Once the sex act is over, all right, whether it was protected or not protected, it's then up to one part of that party to make the decision whether to bring a child into this world. So I put a lot of the responsibility on the mothers, the females, all right? The females who choose a man who has shown little to no financial responsibility in his life, all right? Mm-hmm. She gets pregnant by him. She then expects that he is going to all of a sudden change and decide to be financially responsible when he has not been, not even to himself. And then she, you know, tries to get him garnished and put on a child support payment, all right? Child support has gotten out of control from the perspective of this. The child support is based on a man's income. It's not based on how much it costs to raise a child. It's based on having that child live in the lifestyle of the parent, all right? And the example I'll give you to that is there was just an order placed in the courts here in the last week that Halle Berry pay the non-custodial parent of her daughter, which was a guy who worked on one of the movies that she was on, that was like a movie hand, you know, making the movie sets, et cetera. In any event, she got pregnant by him, and it didn't work out. So the court just ordered that she pay him $20,000 a month, not because he is even the custodial parent, but because he should be able to supply that child with the same lifestyle that that child lives in when they're at Halle Berry's house. So she's on the hook for $240,000 a year to somebody who only gets to take care of the child maybe 10 days a month. In any event, I digress, all right?
Okay. I'm going to address exactly everything that you said. First of all, in the In the instance of Halle Berry, that's absolutely freaking ridiculous. Okay, so that's an extreme and ridiculous, and that goes up to me, I believe, under the racism blanket. That's number one. Number two, I want to address what else you just said. This is not about the sexual practices of a woman or a man, for that matter. This is about the fact that despite what took place, okay, there's a child involved. Regardless of what took place, regardless of what decisions were made, there's a child involved. Okay, whether you like it or not, there's a child involved. The other thing I want to address is not everybody is a non-financial stable person, or not everybody that you hooked up with. I can guarantee you that there are plenty of people out there who whose babies' daddies, if it's the men, that's the violators of this particular situation. I can guarantee you that these men appear to be well-cut, very well-spoken, financially able, and the whole nine. I can guarantee you that. And just decided that they didn't want to be bothered with the aftermath of what comes from a bad practice in sex.
Let me finish, DC.
What I was trying to say was this, okay? When these men are with them, okay, and they get up, they didn't come to the table financially unstable or looking like they were irresponsible or looking like they were bummed, because the average person doesn't pick a person that looks like they're going to be a loser up front. Not speaking about the promiscuous ways of the world. I'm speaking about people who felt that they were with somebody that if this should come about, at least for the least part, it would be okay. Not speaking about one-night stands either, because even in that respect, it was a one-night stand. Well, oh, well, your little swimmer went that way. Either way you look at it, whether the woman was stupid enough in your mind to not decide to kill her child, which may be against everything she is, okay, which whether or not she decided that, you know, they had no protection, which would be the ultimate stupid thing to do because that's a risk in itself. The point is there's a child. Whether the man likes it, the woman likes it, the decision was made, the baby's here. So what does that say? They still have to be responsible. Whether they choose to physically raise the child or not, that child has needs and you're responsible for that. Period. And if the court has to get involved, despite how the origin of child support came about, child support is in place. And if you don't want your ass garnished, then you either zip it up and keep it away or do what you got to do, even if you're not dealing with the mom. That's already bad enough in the child because there's already the decision for you not to be in the child's life. But the least that you can do is be sure that that child doesn't have to struggle any more than they have to. Now you were saying?
Well, okay. I agree with you as far as how it should be. Two people come together, oops, here's a baby, what are we going to do? All right. The decision to move forward with that pregnancy should be the same as the decision to have sex, a mutual decision. If the man says, hey, look, I don't want any kids, I don't want to take care of any kids, I'm not going to marry you, we're not going to be together, and it's going to be difficult. If the mother then should take that into consideration, and if she doesn't take it into consideration, then she's going to have a hard way to go with getting this man to step up and take responsibility. Now, that doesn't make the man right, no. I believe the definition at the top of a man, M-A-N, is someone who takes care of his responsibilities. That is his children, his female mate, his financial obligations, etc. And unfortunately, child support is in such a bad situation out here now, it's evident that there are not a lot of men walking around. I agree with you 100%. But
and once again, your statement about women knowing what a man said regarding kids and still continuing, that puts their judgment. That puts their judgment on trial. It doesn't put
still believe that, okay? I still believe that. I chose, now this is, I can only speak from my own personal experience, and that's what I have chosen, you know, have made the position that I speak from. I chose not to have children. I chose not to have children before I got married because I did not want to be in some type of chasing, you know, a banana, chasing, you know, whatever, trying to get this guy to do what he should do. I chose not to have children once I became married because on top of all the other issues we had, I did not want to have to deal with having a child by someone and basically having, you know, him and the children looking towards me to take care of them, et cetera. It was a decision for me to not do that because I did not want to struggle with child and to chase a man for 18, 20, 25 years to help take care of his child. So I still stand on that. Child support issue, it is multifaceted. It has so many different positions. You could look at it and say, well, this should have happened or this shouldn't have happened. You know, no one position is a clean cut, unfortunately. You know, you made the point, Katie, and I'm glad you did, that it's not always the man. There are mothers out here that walk away from their children and leave them with the fathers to take care of them. You know, it goes both ways, unfortunately, today. Who suffers? The children suffer. You know, so, again, still, to answer your question, the first question you asked me, yes, I believe that the custodial parent, if they made the decision to move forward with the pregnancy, have the child against the wishes of the other parent, they knew what they were getting themselves into. It doesn't make it right, but, hey, it's one of those situations. I mean, I'm going to step back and let our other panelists take the mic because I think I've stated what my position is, although it's not the popular position.
It's your position. You're perfectly entitled to state it. Sarah, I'm going to get right to you. I just got to bring all the panelists in. Hold on. Welcome to the show, Corey, on the air.
Good evening, everyone, and God bless you and your families.
Okay.
Good evening, Lady Barnett.
Good evening, sir. Salo, you have the mic on.
Oh, absolutely. Well, I want to say first, thank God for the sisters.
And I need you to speak that way.
If you can hear me, can you hear me now?
Now I can hear you.
All right. I wanted to say thank God for the sisters and thank God for Black Woman Appreciation. And I think the previous point was a well-taken point, but I think it's what I think we can, how we can clean it up a little bit. We could point to specific examples in certain individual circumstances where we have people, I guess the use of the system itself is an abuse in itself. Abuse equals the system. So we have people using the system the same way people are using the system in other ways, are using it as a pity party. Oh, yeah, I'm on child support, this and that. I'm not in my child's life, F that B. As an excuse as to why they're not being the strong Black fathers they need to be in this society, as well as just period tells them they must be. It is what it is. Okay, it's just as bad as a person using the system to get some new stuff or some type of false gain. So overall, the use of the system in itself is a shame on the man. On the man in itself for even coming across using the system. And also, you know, I heard someone earlier defining a man, you know, and a man has to take care of his things. At the end of the day, we in this society, it's real. Not everybody is the same, right? And not everybody is the same financially able, but we all have the same liability for our responsibility of our gametes, our loins, our rib, our sperm, penis, vagina, eggs, everything that procreates life, you are responsible for it no matter what, as soon as it's created. So that in itself, if you didn't understand that and you are looking to some fantasy, you know, to intervene in your life as a man, now you allowing for this? You're not smothering your family so much that there's no use for these crackers to be in your life. You know, at the end of the day, the system, like the sister said earlier, I never heard it that way. It's to offset the cost of welfare, and that's the way they're keeping the books. It's very easy, you know.
Please allow me to intervene on that one, Salo. It's not just welfare, and that's the whole thing. That's the bigger thing, because that's actually the majority of the child support cases that are out there are because there are people on welfare. But do understand, there have been working mothers or working fathers that this system has applied to. And let me explain this to you. I feel that anybody that has to get a court involved as a parent, I don't give a damn what your preferences were. When you decided to go dip in the honey jar, listen, there's a risk either way, even with contraception things go wrong. My question is not about whether that woman was too stupid to abort the child, which I don't think anybody has the right to tell somebody that they're stupid or not. Yes, there's consequences that come with the situation that was presented to you. Yes, if there was something you were going to go against certain odds and you still decided to go for it anyway, yes, you got to deal with the hardships that come with it. But under no circumstances should any one parent be able to walk away freely when they were involved. I don't care what you say. If that's the case, why are all these celebrities having these side chicks and developing babies they don't want to pay for? Getting to the point where the system allows men or women to pretend they can't work or don't have assets that the city can come after because they don't want this little sexual indiscretion to be a problem. Mm-hmm. These are children's lives you're talking about, regardless of what the stupid parents did. And if you have to get to the point that a bunch of strangers with a clipboard and an official sealed title has to tell you to do this, then shame on you. Shame on you.
Katie,
and it's not about whether he was a sweet talker or whether he was a bum or whether she was a different lady at the time. There's a baby. There's a baby. Period. There's a kid that glows, that breathes, that pees. That's it.
Right. About fair and child support is that we would have come about, you know, in the last 20 years. But child support was initially created by the government to offset their costs. That is why child support was created. All right? Nobody's thinking about the children here. Nobody set up and created child support 40 years ago to say, these children need something. It was created because the government said, hey, we're paying too much money to take care of children.
Which is exactly why parents need to do everything that they can to keep these people out of their business. And everybody who knows me knows I have a problem with government interference in the family home. Okay? I don't believe that unless it's a severe case of true, whoever that is, mute your phone, please.
Say low. Hit the mute button.
That's not me.
Whatever it is that is the problem now, it's too late for crap. There are brothers sitting out there, and half of their mothers are allowing them to do it, laying on their couches, pretending they're indigent, pretending that they can't find a job. Meanwhile, those mothers that have to go to public assistance are being told that for the peanuts that they're getting, they have to go out there and scrub subways and clean parks and do whatever for no pay, but not for pay, but for what the peanuts are that they're being given. And if they don't, oh, and by the way, you must come down to child support and help us in every way you can. Find this man or find this woman, okay, to help us, to help you. Meanwhile, when they do catch this person, if that should, rare occasion should happen, if they're taking $500 away from that father, they're paying themselves first, and their baby is only getting $50 a week.
Exactly. So it comes back to the persons, then, the man that the woman chooses to sleep with.
It comes back to those two parents doing what the hell they're supposed to do. That's what it comes back. That way, if these people don't have their little mouth salivating over that phone to go get. It comes down to people. If you had a child, whether you liked it or not, be angry, be pissed off, stay away from each other if you have to, but make sure that child doesn't get in the system. That's what it comes down to. Not who the hell was stupid, who got drunk, who did what. None of that is on the table. What's on the table is whether or not, once those people get involved in your life and have to catch you the way that they catch you, are you having the right to complain or pass blame about it? You shouldn't have done it. You should have done
Absolutely.
What you're supposed to do as a grown-ass man or a grown-ass woman, period. It doesn't come down to anybody's sexual anything. It comes down to the fact that you should have done everything you could, even if you don't like the woman or you don't like the man. Western Union, American Instagram, and all the, MoneyGram, and all these other things are there. There's receipts for you to get to say exactly why you spent this money. And for those of you red beasts that are out there trying to complain that you're not giving anything because she's spending it on herself, then do yourself a favor if you really care about this kid. First of all, go look at your child, whether you like the other parent or not. Figure out a way to get there, and that's it. Because your child needs to know that despite the crap you two can't figure out, they're okay. That's number one. Number two, okay, if you feel that this is truly going on, watch that person for a while, take some evidence, get some documents, and take it back to the very courts that had to get in your life in the first place. They make that person produce receipts for everything that they're giving. But don't use that as an excuse not to do your part simply because you're slapping yourself on the head now for opening your pants in the first place. Beating you up.
Exactly.
Beating you up.
Well, first of all, I'd like to start off by saying being responsible.
Yeah.
Being responsible adults, first off. If you don't want a child, take the precautions to prevent yourself from having a child. It's not like if you think you're gonna lay down and have sex with a man or a woman, and you think that a child is not gonna come out of that, you're either brain dead or you don't know. Nobody ever took the time to teach you about the birds and the bees. You know, and this thing about I've been listening, it seems like there's a bunch of dollar signs. It's not about dollar signs, it's about the child. First of all, when you get into a relationship and you happen to produce a child, that you and him thing is out the doggone window because it's about the child, period. There's no price on that child because the child didn't ask to be here in the first place.
Yeah.
You know, me, myself, I don't care. If there's a child that is mine, and if I can't get along with the parent, with the woman, okay, fine and dandy. But I'm going to do what I'm supposed to do as far as taking care of that child. I'm not going to bring her through the BS, and I'm not going to bring, the child through that BS. Because that's just what it is. And anybody that complains about the child support thing, don't do what you're supposed to do, and then you won't have to worry about the system. The system is corrupt in the first place. As far as child support system and the welfare system, they are both corrupt.
Yeah.
So if you do what you're supposed to do as a man or a woman, take care of your business.
Yep.
Point blank. There's no excuses. Any other thing that comes out of your mouth and it doesn't have anything with taking care of that child, you're off base. Period.
Right. And if I may add, no matter what type of person you think you are, or no matter what type of status you think you, it doesn't matter who you are, who you think you are. You have the same responsibility as anybody else making a child. If you had $1 million, you know.
Right.
So regardless of what image of yourself you've projected, you know, for yourself. To hell with what you think you are struggling, your typical situation, you a nigga, this, that, and the other. None of that is real anyway. So regardless who you think you are, everybody's looking at you saying who you really are.
Yes, there's a panelist coming in, and I need to bring them in for a long minute. Those of you that have the background noise and you're not talking, only mute your phone, please. Welcome to the show, Carly. You're on the air.
Excuse me.
Hey, this is Tylon. Hi. How are
Hi, Tylon.
You?
Hey, how are you?
All right, all right. Hey,
all right.
I've been listening to the conversations as usual. It's very invigorating. It's inspiring. My concern is that when we have discussions, particularly about child support and the system, I just kind of feel like we already get the piece of responsibility. I think sometimes. The system treats us like children, like we don't know about responsibility. I think we take care of each other. We love each other the best that we can. We do the best that we can. And I think the elephant in the room, much too often, is the issue of reparations. We built the wealth of this country for 400 years of under the most brutal form of oppression known to the human experience. I think that we've never really have been debriefed, if you will, from what has taken place. And then we hear these calls, and it's just a little suspect to me, because I personally know a lot of fathers who are deeply involved in their kids' lives. I am involved in kids that I'm not the biological father to and raising and just involved in on so many levels and also in terms of the community. And I'm not the only one. So I kind of feel like the conversation much too often has this slant, and I'm just wondering where it comes from. Maybe, and two, I don't want to just use my life as an experience, like in terms of it's the norm. Maybe just the people I happen to be around are very responsible men and are loving men and nurturing men. All through my life, I'm from, I was born in Harlem, but raised in Brownsville, Brooklyn, and moved to East New York. And, now I'm between Brooklyn and Jersey City. And, I see the same thing. I don't know too many. I probably know one guy that's struggling, and he actually has a legitimate reason why he's not involved. But I think, we need to be repaired first, and then I think we can have a more meaningful, a substantive conversation with regard to why men aren't involved in the lives of their children. I just see, my experience is that, most, I would say 95% of the males that I know are very loving, very much involved, despite the systems, despite oppression, want to have even more quality time with their kids. And much too often the courts almost seems they want to penalize men for stepping up. And if I could just share one of my personal experiences, I had my oldest son's mother was addicted to crack during the whole crack epidemic. And I nearly went broke. And this was at a time when I was a school teacher. I used to work for the New York City Board of Education. I used to work for Auxiliary Services for High Schools, which was an alternative program for high school dropouts. We dealt with a lot of DFY students. That was Division for Youth. Ex-offenders, and I can't even tell you, I was almost in the poorhouse going back and forth to the courts, and the baby's mother was not fighting me. It was the system. I had to get this order for this, and I didn't know about this. I didn't know I had to get this order of paternity that I didn't have. I had to go back and forth to court, and they gave her, like, I don't know, 6 months to show up. She never showed up. I had to... They just really just put me through the ringer. It was almost like I was doing something wrong. I thought that I was going to be like a hero. You're going, hey, here's a guy. He's stepping up. He's taking care of the kids and stuff like that. And I actually took custody of two kids that she had previous to our relationship because she was really, really just bad on crack. And it was the most horrible experience I've ever had. It was really horrible. I mean, and so I have, no faith in the system. I see a lot of men really just stepping up all over the place, and no one talks about this. But I constantly hear the mantra of these guys got to take care of their kids, and these guys are stepping in. And I imagine it does happen, so I don't want to, on the other hand, say that, oh, it doesn't happen, and, you know, the black community is this monolith. I know we're complex, but I just feel like it's strange that, you know, people are saying the same things, but no one is talking about the fact that these men are really, despite even sometimes not having a lot of money, unemployed, really trying to be aggressively involved in their kids' life, and not from the perspective of they're just going to get they're going to be punished. They're doing it because they love their children.
Absolutely, absolutely. And as you, if you were listening in the beginning of the show, and if you've been on the show where I've actually celebrated those very men that you speak of, because they don't get the front page news. That they
Tonight
is not about those men. Tonight is not about those men. But based on everything you just brought up, about your own experience with the system, about what it is that they do, we know this. So why would anybody, try to allow the system to catch up with them, and they will. They will if this child is consistently going with a parent that's trying, and you know something? Just as many good men as they are out there trying to make it work are as many good single mothers out there that's trying to do the best they can without involving the father in the court system. They're out there trying to appeal to this man or vice versa. There are men out there. There are men out there trying to protect their baby's mother, and they're out there trying to communicate with this person. And the whole thing is, if you can, if you do have the type of relationship where you can talk, even if it doesn't seem to go anywhere, that I say continue to talk till something happens. But if you've got a person that's just a deadbeat, because just as many men as there are out there trying to do good that don't get the recognition are just as many men, if not more so, that then had a one-night stand or tried to get to some girl for the longest while we did. A baby came out of it. They're slapping their face, they're and you're like, oh, God, I missed one. Now they don't want to be bothered. But that can't happen regardless of what is going on. There's a baby involved, period. It doesn't matter how the baby got there, whether it was told to have an abortion, whether I told you I didn't want any. The baby's here now. And that's what matters, nothing else. And if anybody is silly enough and low enough and loser enough to walk away, and I'm talking about those that walk away, not those that are actively involved, like, for example, you, Tylon, like you, Deacon. You know, Stable, if you had children, I know you would. I'm not speaking about you gentlemen because you gentlemen get a bad rap, very much so, which is why I had the Few Good Men segment because of that. All right? What I'm saying is, to those that willfully walk the hell away, and because they skate by for months or sometimes years on end, and feel like, oh, I got away with it another day. Oh, yeah. Ooh.
Kay, can I ask you a question, Kay? Oh, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Okay. Well, I was going to say, and I've seen it happen. I've been around it, so you are blessed enough to have a community of people that are not trying to dodge their children.
Well,
but there are many people.
I wanted to ask you, and perhaps everyone else on the panel, if we can just get a consensus of just the ballpark. How many people do you personally know are not taking care of their kids? I suspect it's low. I'm just saying that I don't know if it's the epidemic that is being promoted out there that, you know, men. I could be wrong, and I'm submitting this question to the panelists. How many people do they actually know are not taking care of their kids?
I know.
In terms of percentage. If you can give a rough percentage, like 10. Sorry.
I know quite a few. Including my own. I know quite a few. I also know quite a few men that are equally taking care of their children and are victims of vindictive baby mothers. So under no circumstances am I referring to those men at all or those women. And by the way, I don't only believe that it's men that's doing it. Quite a few sisters are doing it as well. And whichever way it goes, I don't care. It's wrong on all fronts. And child support, I don't believe in the system at all. Not at all. Okay? I don't believe in them. I don't like to be bothered with them. It bugs the hell out of me that anybody would even have to deal with it, which gets to the point of if you do choose to be that way and you thought you could skate by, you bought bling and liquor and club nights out and women hotels and men hotels or do whatever while your baby was sitting there with no Similac, with no diapers, with no clothes, not able to go to the school field trips, not able to eat on a proper basis because mom is struggling for whatever reason. And you figured that because you got a few good club nights out of it, that nobody came after you, that when it comes down, you're supposed to complain? That's the question on the table tonight.
Right.
And if I may, and if I may address the question, and if I can, you know, even alter my statements a little bit earlier, because I thought about it, and what the brother said, or what was said, was inspiring in a way, because one of the reasons I see that we probably have a slant in the representation right now is because of statements like what I've said earlier, and I want to alter that. I said shame on men. Because we don't have men who are victims and or participants in the child support system participating in the discussion because the statements keep shaming them. Now, when I think about the question at hand and what the brother said, I know about two to three men out of all the black men I know that aren't taking care of their children. But out of all of them that have children, I know, you know, scores and scores of them. So now thinking about it in that way, in the way of what I actually see with my visual eyes, that's absolutely amazing. Because, you know, I'm subdued under the perception that men aren't taking care of their children often. And that's a perception. Now, it's probably 50-50. Probably 50-50 for real. But I don't know that many. And that was a very good question. And, you know, not shame on people that participate, but shame if you're using it, like I had said before. If you're using it as an excuse not to be in your child life, we have those psychotic people too, see, and we don't talk about them. They're not in the perception in the media because they exist more so than anything. We have men using the system as an excuse not to excel. That's crazy too, as an excuse not to create strong building families. We have a system in itself of welfare and a system in itself that historically we know has discouraged strong black families with a male representative. They discouraged males in the household on paper, legislatively, and have done so in practice, real estate-wise, and have done such things that we've called upon laws and shit. Actual things, writs on paper, that are barring them from doing such things. So we know moving forward that this system in itself is not only racist. We can sue it. We can sue the system. I can sue the District of Columbia if they're wrong. You know, if they can sue anybody if somebody else is wrong. You understand? I can sue New York City. For real. If there's a malicious prosecution. Now, I think that we don't talk about how maliciously the system is being used by the system, by women and men. Now, now let's bring some legal. I think it would be great to bring some type of, you know, real finger pointing now, not just playing around with these debates back and forth because they're not true, you know. What's really going on is there's ramifications going on. These people are stealing money all day and all night. And it's malicious against the black communities in these cities. You can sue cities.
Right.
People do it all the time. Civil lawsuit. And we need some strong black lawyers right now. And we need some strong legal minds, period. That can, And who was the brother that's always talking about think tanking? That's something we need to think tank on immediately. And we need to point our finger at these people using the system. Men. I'm talking about men right now. Because we already pointed our finger at the women via the media. So fuck it.
We want to address a little bit more on that. As much as you two may not personally know people, or like you said, Trylon, you know, blessings to you on that one, that you have a community full of good men, okay? But the child support system and the percentages out there and the courts that are filled with these cases are not unreal or non-existent. Mm-hmm. Now, out of all the people that you might be seeing sitting in these lobbies waiting to be called for their case to be heard, I can mm-hmm. honestly say that maybe one or two out of five cases are not there because the men are not stepping up, or the parents in question are not stepping up. I can honestly say that, okay? If there's five people sitting on that bench, two of them are there by a vindictive other parent, okay? So mm-hmm. I'm not taking that to the table, but that question wouldn't apply to those men. And all of you know how I operate here. If the shoes don't fit, don't wear them, okay? I definitely can't say that this question would apply to you, Tylon, because not only have you taken care of your own, but you've taken care of people who are not yours. So right. you're one of the rare and few. As I know personally of you, Deacon, that would have done that. And Stalo, I know you're involved with children, and DC, I definitely know how you work. But what I'm saying is, for those very real cases that are out there where children are suffering, first of all, try to think about what we spoke about before about single parenthood. You got a child that's wondering why the hell they weren't good enough for their parents to want to stick around for them. So that's already a problem. Now you want to talk about I can't financially be okay too?
Mm-hmm.
And child support in response to something that someone told me in the pre-broadcast question. The question was, so you're saying that they should give up their other parent in place of a check. No, that's not what child support is supposed to be for. Child support is supposed to be for the fact that since you decided not to be that parent, the least you could do is understand you can't walk away from the situation scot-free. That child still needs to grow, breathe, you know, eat, pee, do all this other stuff, and these things need to be addressed. And one mm-hmm. parent is not supposed to have to do it all.
Right. Can I interject just a couple
sure.
of... okay. One, one of the things that I kind of find repugnant is that they're reducing the family or the relationships that people authentically have with each other to dollars and cents, and that's problematic because
absolutely.
But you know, our experiences are much, I think, more deeper and profound. That's number one. Number two, I think what's also problematic in this entire equation is that when we look at the family and the relationship between children and adults, is we've gotten so far away from the village that let's say, for example, one of the parents can't be involved in someone's life because they're in the military or they die. There are men in our community, and a lot of the men that would be in the community are imprisoned, for the prison industrial complex. I think there's a reason why there's a disproportionate amount of black men incarcerated, usually for, small drug offenses and all that. It's a real breakdown of community. That's why I phrased the question earlier of how many people, do we actually know that are not, taking care of their kids, hit it and quit it kind of thing. I've never said that it doesn't happen. I never said that, I wanted to paint the picture like, oh, all the men are great and they all love their kids. My thing is that I believe that this system was not ever designed to empower the black family, is actually to do the worst. So sometimes a lot of the propaganda, they'll use cases, let's say, when men are misbehaving, or when women aren't misbehaving, when they talk about women twerking, like that's all the women are doing now, twerking and acting crazy and off the chains. You see all the videos on Facebook going viral. That's not really a depiction of the majority of women. And sometimes we give energy or we give life to certain unrealities as opposed to holding up the prime and very good examples of how parents ought to be, which I think is more encouraging and even more inspiring to the populace of in the black community to say, hey, wow, you can actually be in your kids' lives and enjoy it. It's actually beautiful. It's actually wonderful. It's actually something that, is natural for you to do, as opposed to you doing something under a threat of punishment. So there's these coded dynamics that I think really just seeks to further divide the black family, because you cannot have an effective community without the pillars of that community, which is the black family.
Tylon, you brought up two perfect points. okay, too. And one of them was the village is gone, okay? The village is gone. Like you brought up with the military family either being away or, you know, maybe that soldier got killed in active duty. Absolutely.
Or killed in the street.
So, yeah, or killed on the street. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And perfect example. We definitely know that the lack of the village is definitely the root of many of our problems. But here's the deal. It goes back to this. Don't get to the point where the courts have to get involved. The other point you brought up was that they definitely discourage a black family being a unified unit, being a real unit. They definitely do. And just let me let you know, no smart woman or parent actually chooses to want to go to public assistance. Because understand this. If you went down to the food stamp or the Medicaid office to apply for those services as a working person, whether you're making $200 a week or $2,000 a week, you know, $2,000 a week might be a little steep for the eligibility, but, you know, just humor me for a little bit, okay?
Mm-hmm.
If you went down there just to get working food stamps, A, they give you much more. B, they don't ask you as many questions or requirements, but now let them have to give you the little peanuts that they give you. All right, for example, I know a family of eight right now. They're giving that woman $116 every 2 weeks to support the family. Now understand, with that $116 every 2 weeks, she's supposed to clothe her children and herself because she's included in that. She's supposed to pay bills with that.
Right.
She's supposed to get buy groceries when the food stamps run down,
right.
Okay? And then, in addition to all of that, pretty much I used to say some really deep things. Like I used to say, you know, the amount of information they ask you for, they might as well be asking you how many vaginal hairs you have growing. That's how bad it is.
Mm-hmm.
It goes that deep. What color toenails are you? Did you have? How much was the nail polish? Who's the anger? And there used to be times they came to your house to search your closet for men's clothing. I remember that happening to my mother.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, they used to come to your house. Nowadays, they know that they might get shot, so they don't do that anymore. But now they try to find different ways, and then everything that they can do to recoup you, to cut your balance, to cut you off, they'll do. Only because, in addition to your food and medical needs, they're asking you're asking them for cash assistance, which comes down to this. Now, I can tell you personally, okay, that having to get on this is not something anybody would choose to do. If they could do different. I can tell you that personally. Not anybody with any sound, dignity about themselves or anything, but it comes down to this, okay? You have to feed your children. You have to clothe your children. And if it means getting peanuts versus having nothing at all, then you'll take the peanuts. And yes, if it means, listen, most of the time when these people go down there to apply, they don't have the fathers or involved anyway. Because let's face it, it's mostly the men that's not on the welfare system, it's the women. Okay, so if you have these guys that are trying to hit the skins, as they say, and then keep it moving, but now here comes a baby, that ain't me. I only was with you one time. You see it on Morning Talk Radio, even though I think that's a little more sensationalized to an unrealistic level, but this is what's happening. So it comes down to this. When a woman tries so hard, and you know for a fact that women will deal with a bad person very, very long before they finally make a move out of desperation, the same way a guy in love will do. They will give every shot possible, trying to believe that something will happen, as DC said earlier, that they'll change, that maybe the baby will bring something different. But when that doesn't happen and the real stuff starts to hit you, then what? Then you have to do what you have to do. So if it comes down to having the government intervene to try to get something and make something happen, make some changes happen, versus your child being taken away from you or dying of starvation, then what do you do? You have to go with the lesser of two evils. So the bottom line is, once again, if you are one of those people that have made the active decision to walk the hell away because it pisses you off, because it's in your way, because it cramps your lifestyle, but you were the one that was there to make it happen, and you got caught, boo-hoo to you. And I'm not speaking to the Tylons and the Deacons and the Salos and the DCs of the world. I'm not. I'm not speaking to those men who are overshadowed by the garbage that we keep getting on the front page as if you guys don't exist. I also equally know quite a few good men who have very bad baby mama drama, who are actively involved in every single silly little performance that their first grader kindergartner does, who's there every step of the way to see their sons become men and their daughters become respected women. I've seen that. And I've seen somebody that they were with that either got pissed off because they screwed up and lost him, okay, or jealous because he got with somebody who's better for him or prettier than they are, but they don't have the baby, this person does. That's no better than the person walking away. So I'm not putting those people under this blanket net. I'm speaking about those that would rather go buy a $500 chain but not a $5 pack of diapers. I'm speaking about those that will save money every time. Listen, there was one that I remember. The woman asked her ex for $20 just asked for money because they have two babies that are around the same age, that had the same needs. It's just that one had a larger size diaper than the other one. And this man turned to her and said, I only have $20 in my pocket. I can't give you half for the kids. Now, to offset any kind of doubt, this man was a man that used to work, that once took care of that family, even if he wasn't involved actively with the little activities, whatever that is, please. Even if he wasn't involved in the active activities as he should, because a lot of men tend to think that if they're bringing home the bacon, that's where fatherhood stops.
Yeah.
But at least to that point, he made sure that that money was not an issue, okay? But now that he couldn't have the mother back, now that he was not involved and no longer called the shots, now that's the one thing she needs from him, so that's the one thing he controls, even if it means to be the detriment of the kid. Because he figured if the mother got desperate enough after saying no and things kept going wrong for her, eventually she'd give in and come back to him.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Katie, give me an opportunity to ask this question to everybody on the panel, especially you, all right? I remember last year seeing a case that was in court. This guy was crowned the worst child support offender in the history of the U.S. He had 25 children, all right, by different women, and was not paying child support to any. He was unemployed. He was living in somebody's basement. And I put those particulars out there because I go back, and I'll give my opinion first. I'll go back to the women. How stupid can you be to have unprotected sex, or even protected sex for that matter, because there's not enough protection when you're dealing with someone like that, that has shown historically, I mean, one kid, three kids. But when you start getting in the five, six, seven, and double digits worth of kids, your reputation precedes you. Why are you having sex with this man? He's not doing anything for the other kids, you know.
I think it's possible and conceivable. A guy like that is lying to each woman. They probably didn't know. I'm just assuming. I mean, some probably knew or two. But you know, I really, in this whole mix, I know Katie, you're gonna probably shoot me in the head when you see me. But I just feel like, you know, I just feel like, you know, these people are in deep pain. I think we have expectations of people who are dysfunctional and don't have access to. All right, don't get mad, but I think this is a mental health issue among our community, and I think we don't get help. I think, you know, people try to self-medicate in our community. I think a lot of people use sex and relate. Hello?
Yeah.
Yeah, we hear that.
Oh, I think people use, you know, even sex is a form of a drug or medication and stuff like that. I think at the end of the day, what we're talking about, even with child support, is poverty, and it's not just a financial thing. It's a mentality. It's a psychological predisposition that I think sometimes we kind of overlook, you know, with the rhetoric that people are really hurt and hurting. And a lot of these people come from homes. It's a cycle of poverty and dysfunction and not having, you know, a proper father figure or a proper mother figure. And this is when I keep going back to the community. I keep going back. Because you know what? No one's going to love us but us. And I think we keep looking at the courts are not the solution. They are the problem. And I think that if we remove our kith and kin from that paradigm, these are some real things that I think that can come out of this conversation with regard to at least our perspective. We can't help them if we have the same kind of contempt that the system has for them. We can't really help anybody if we don't love them, if we don't look at them as ourselves, as at some point having faults and flaws. If I look at my life and I look at all the dumb things I've done and the mistakes that I've made and poor choices, and I think everyone, you know, you can say that, but there was always somebody there. There's always some mentor. There was always someone that said, hey, you know, Tylon, that's kind of goofy. You know, that's kind of dumb. You need to do this. You need to do that. And say, okay, I'll do that. But a lot of folks don't have that kind of care. And I think that sometimes with the kind of vitriol, with the kind of venom, the kind of perspective that's promoted, I think those ideas are foreign. They're not really reflective of, you know, who we are as people. And that's my concern. That's why I was asking the question of really how much of an epidemic is this? How pervasive is it? Not that it doesn't exist, once again. I want to make that point. It absolutely happens. But not only is it not as pervasive as perhaps it's being promoted, but maybe we do have the power. Maybe we do have the ability to maybe double our efforts, make connections when we need to make connections with people, and have conversations. You know, these people are our cousins. They're our sisters, our brothers, our nieces, our nephews. I have conversations with young men all the time. When I say all the time, every day. I had a conversation today prior to this conversation about, you know, someone talking about leaving, a relative of mine was talking about leaving his relationship and he's getting too much and saying, hey, you know, you got to get to the root. It's not easy. These are the tools, you know, and trying to give people, I think, the confidence, the inspiration. I think that's really what we need. We need to know that we can do it. It's not that big of a deal. It's not frightening, you know. So much more is at stake by you not being there. And I think that message is kind of interrupted when we have this kind of system approach of you should be punished, this is punitive, if you don't do this. And you know, I think it's just human nature. I mean, when I was growing up, all the things that my parents told me not to do, that was the stuff I wanted to do.
You know?
And so I think part of it is understanding the basic nature of human beings, understanding our deep oppression / depression that a lot of us are in, and we walk around with no mental health resources. And a lot of brothers, I know, I don't care how big and bad. I mean, can you understand how sick that is for you to have children and buy a $500 chain, which you articulated? That's a sickness, and we don't treat it as that. We look at it as someone misbehaving, but it's sick for him not to see the love and the need and the desperation and the connection to that kid, and you know, and as opposed to a chain that you brought, that as soon as you brought it, probably devalued. It's probably not even real, you know. So,
right.
You know,
in one of those brawls you have. And by the way, Tylon.
Yes.
Excellent point. What do you mean? I'm going to blow your head off. You made an excellent point.
You know,
okay. I wanted to address DC's story about the. The man with the 25 kids. First of all, there's a couple of things with that. Number one, anybody that has 25 kids by different women has that Father Abraham complex. That's what I call it, the one that wants to make their own nation. Okay? Now, for a man to do that, believe you me, He has well polished up his lines on what a woman needs to hear for that to happen. Because let's face it, what are the odds that a man actually wants to advocate? Think about it. We're speaking about child support issues right now. So you can imagine if a man is willing to have 25 kids and even if he knows he can't take care of them, or it's beyond belief because he's not JV, okay, this man will do everything that it takes to say and do and persuade that woman to believe in him. And you know what? Having one or two more kids with him is because he's been in there putting the sweet talk on. Now, going to another little analogy, the same way these women would continue to do it and we question why, it's the same way that we should question why will we stay in a relationship for years on end knowing that it's not going anywhere and hasn't. It's the same thing. But the question still remains, if you have to get a court involved in telling you how to be a father or a mother, and then you get caught, do you have the right to complain? Do you have the right to pass blame as to why it happened to you?
Well, I think the difference that I'm saying is that we have to bypass the court. There needs to be other places and other spaces that we have to go. That should be not only the last resort, almost no resort. We have to make the courts empty. We have to make the jails empty, and we have to take it from a community perspective of saying, okay, I know someone. Hey, Tylon, can you talk to this guy for 5-10 minutes? Or can we make certain connections? Here we are on the phone, we're concerned, we're talking about the issue, you know, have people call in and let them know, hey, if you're having problems, we're going to talk about this issue on Thursday, and we're going to make real meaningful connections with what's going on with you. Maybe if you can be answered, it's not the end of the world. It's like sometimes you have a suicide hotline, maybe you have a child support, a conversation about how wonderful, how this is not a thing that's like, they are really stripping you of your birthright. I mean, to be engaged with like your children and your offspring. And I think a lot of men, absolutely, to your point, feel mortal. And the fact that they feel mortal, that's why they're procreating so much, because they feel like, you know what, you know, I can just go any minute, I don't really care. That tells me that they don't think about their future. So, you know, it really is a dysfunction, and we have to look at it like and treat it as a real mental health disease, not loving your child or not being involved in that kid's life. And I think from that perspective, and dealing with it and with love, as opposed to everybody wants to, you know, medicate and self-medicate and feel good and say, look, you know, this is my brother, this is my sister. Look, you know, this is how we're going to deal, you know, with this situation more positive. And give them the tools, give them the resources, give them the confidence, give them that idea, as opposed to the idea that's, perpetuated on television, radio, everywhere you go, that, you know, this is how you handle it. You know, you duck and you dodge, and this is what it means to be a responsible male. Therefore, you're not responsible, so it feeds even more into their low self-esteem, because I can't be a man if I'm not, you know, able to financially take care of my kids. And that was the flight that took place when welfare was introduced in the community. My black men couldn't even compete with the $100 or so that women were getting from welfare. And like that famous scene in Claudine. I don't know if you guys saw that movie with James Earl Jones. And you know, that same thing, like, wow, I'm working, but I can't even compete with what the government is doing, or we have to somehow fudge the system just to make ends meet. So I think that we have to change the psychological dynamic in our approach from day one, looking at it from the perspective of this is a village, that this is our responsibility. These kids are growing up, and their future really is in everyone's hands. Sort of like how Indians did, Africans did it. You know, it was a communal responsibility. It was not just that individual who was misbehaving, and we have to punish them, and this is the way that we're going to get them and punish them. It's like, look, if these 25 kids or so are out there in the street without a father or without a mother, and they end up being criminals, and they shoot one of us or they, you know, rob one of us or they steal or something, this is a community, and we're not making that connection, because I think we're operating in the paradigm of that white Eurocentric supremacist kind of mindset, that black men essentially are flawed, black women are flawed and dysfunctional for no reason at all. They're inferior, as opposed to, no, we're superior. We got to get back to our African consciousness.
Absolutely. I do. Before, I want to address that, and I have a panelist that's trying to get in. You're absolutely right. And in essence, I mean, I sort of said something to this nature in the beginning of the show, of the discussion, where I said, you know, what we don't, well, let me say this. In essence, you brought up a point that actually leans towards a solution, towards the problem not becoming males abandoning their babies or mothers doing the same. And that is bring back the damn village, which we don't have. Now, you know, you spoke about how you speak to young men on a daily basis. Yes, we do need to have an outlet when things start to get real tough or when things are upsetting, or even somebody to say, wait, yo, well, look, there's some accountability in what you're doing, too. If the courts had to come after you and you know that these people exist in the way that they do, why would you let it get there? This is your kid. This is your child. You know, you were involved in the act that created this child. Maybe she didn't do what you wanted to do, but you have to take care of, you have to step up, and you got to be a man. We don't have that village right now.
And well, you know, I beg to differ. I think we do, and I can prove it to you. Your show. I mean, you're reaching a lot of people.
And
you talk
what?
Every day,
I'm
and honest. I think that you. I think if everyone says, you know, I mean, and I'm on Facebook, and you'll see, I'll do it. I share, you know, the information on your show to say, hey, it was really a terrific show. It's a great experience. But hey, if you know somebody who's having difficulty with the courts and family, you know, we want to hear about it, and we want to work this thing together and have shows, and the word gets out. I mean, I think we believe we don't have the power. We believe and we operate and we function like that, as opposed to, wait a minute, these are our enemies. They've proven they've been our enemies for over 400 years. We want to get them out of our family so that we can heal and we can bring our family closer together and we can be strong again. And I think what you're doing is terrific. It's a form of community. You know, I try to get on the show as often as I can, because I know I'm going to be inspired, reinvigorated. We're going to have some really great conversation, meet some really wonderful people, and make meaningful connections, and we can bring more people into the dialogue and say, hey, you know, maybe, you know, we can do this, but let's look at it, and actually we're doing it. You know, I mean, and invite some other people into the conversation to listen in and get the word. And before you know it, your show is more popular than Oprah's. Oh, well, she's off the air, but all the other shows, Wendy and all those other shows combined, that are really just mind-poisoning, you know, and now have some mind nourishment on the KD program.
It takes a lot, and it does. It will take, and it also takes people to be willing to walk to that community. And a lot of times, we don't have that from our own. And the whole point is, and there is a panelist waiting in the queue, a lot of the times is, in this case, I think it boils down to prevention. Prevention of having to get to that point. Prevention of having somebody get to the point of desperation. And like I said, barring, first of all, those vindictive filers, the people filing out of vindictiveness, number one. And number two, I'm not speaking about those that went through it, tried to comply, and then the government put some loan shark rates down on them to get it, especially since the things that they're taking from these men or women are not actually being given to their children in retrospect. So I'm not speaking on that. I'm speaking strictly about those that walked off consciously, makes a daily decision to continue it, and that's it. And I know a lot of it has come from what we've been conditioned to do, but a lot of it is choice as well. Welcome to the show, Carl. You're on the air.
Hey, Katie, this is Professor Carlton Jones calling from Philly.
Hey, Professor, you're late.
Hey.
Well, you know, I was actually, hey, what's going on, Deacon? I was actually going to sit this one out because I'm doing some research for a lecture, a panel that I'm going to be a part of at Lincoln University tomorrow evening. But it's a perfect topic because we're going to be talking about cognitive dissonance. And I think that's one of the things that we're dealing with when we talk about the situation with absentee fathers or when fathers have to, you know, black families have to get the court involved. I think we're really looking at symptoms. So we keep addressing symptoms. And what happens when you address symptoms is you may stop the symptom, but the symptom is only presenting itself because there's an illness involved there. And I think the brother brought up a good point about the fact that we're dealing with some serious issues in our community that haven't been addressed. Now, when we think about our purpose in this country, we were brought here as tools for wealth, as mules for the Europeans who conquered this country. That's what we were brought here for. Every law in place that has been in place has been to keep us in that point, in that part of our progression. And so as long as we're profitable for the white power structure, the white power structure sees no need to change or fix the system. So it's definitely the ball is in our court, but we have to understand that. And we have to understand the power of social engineering. And I keep going back to social engineering, social conditioning. You know, the Dred Scott decision was probably the most important Supreme Court decision in the history of black history of America, because in that document it clearly states that whites don't have to respect the rights of any descendants of Africa. Policies that have been put in place have been put in place to maintain that document, to maintain the strength of that document throughout since 1857. I mean, it was in place before, but that document put it on the legislature. So we have to understand that the whole breakdown of the black family was orchestrated and organized. And just like the sister DC was saying last night, you know, you put black men in the jury room and you put white men in the room, the black men will submit to the will of the white men in that room because they feel powerless against white men. And that's not a thing where physically, mano y mano, they feel powerless, but they feel powerless because institutionally we've been taught that they are the hierarchy. They are at the top of the hierarchy, and it's been broken down. Now, you talk about conscious decisions, and I keep trying to tell you, conscious decisions, all a conscious decision is the reception of our subconscious. Our subconscious bosses and bullies our consciousness around. So your subconscious tells you when to cross the street. Your subconscious tells your conscious when to do this, when to take the left step, when to take the right step. So when you have these flight situations and you talk about men who have been emasculated, you know, it's a very difficult thing to understand how a man has to look his woman in the face when he can't provide them the basic necessities of survival. And so what you see is a lot of escapism. And when men have to do, you know, the brothers, and I'm not making excuses, I'm just telling you what's going on. It's a fight or flight situation.
May I just ask a question based on what you just said? And, you know, I agree 100%. I love everything that you bring up because a lot of the things that you teach in the modern day world, you know, based on history we've learned for years growing up, you know, how you make it connect to even modern day behavior, you know, amazes me on all aspects. But I have to say this to you. When you speak about a man looking his woman in the eye or even his child in the eye and suffering with that sense of failure of not being able to provide, I'm not referring to that. As you heard me bring up, I'm referring to those men that have enough money to go buy a $500 chain. And then you know what, Cylon? You bringing up what you said, that in the bottom line, it's probably even fake, to the point where that you could look your kid in the face. And like I said, I brought up a couple of examples where this person looked at his woman with his baby standing there and said, I have $20 in my pocket right now. I can't give 10 for the kids. Looking at his children, walking around with the last diaper on them. Okay? Yeah. There's only so much that I'm going to give to it being our ancestry. There's only so much because there's got to be at some point where you looking right now have a heart or don't. Have feelings or don't. Okay? Some things are about you making your own choices. And some of this child support situation, half of the time the reason why they're complaining is because they've been getting away with it for so long because technically child support don't go looking for you. That's bull crap. They don't go looking for you. They wait until your social security number pops up in their tracker, and then they get to move and send you a letter. They don't actively go look for you to find you to help these children they're claiming to want to help.
You make some very valid points, and there are, you know, we all, as we say, there are exceptions to the rule. But then you think about the fathers of the generations previously to these young, to these brothers, and those and their fathers, and the situations that they're talking about. Just like the brother brought up the movie Claudine. Mm-hmm. I think if anybody has never seen that movie, you really need to sit down and watch that movie and see the way the system breaks down black men, and they break down black men in front of their women. Now, mm-hmm. you have, you know, the it's done in such a way, in such a creative way, that black women have a hard time seeing it through the eyes of a black man and understanding mm-hmm. that, you know, there are situations and circumstances that preclude black men. And I'm not making excuses. I'm just telling you, I'm just telling you things that have happened historically in recent history where black men have been pressed down in front of their women, how the whole system of affirmative action was used to further castigate black men out of managerial positions so that now they're subservient to women at work. So you have the whole dynamic. There's not just this one angle of it. We're looking at just one angle of this, and it's a whole dynamic, a whole mm-hmm. web of things that are put together, and then we see the results because each spiral of the web has its own set of circumstances. But it all spirals from this system of white supremacy. Now,
right.
you look in the white community, and you have the same conditions go on, but it's not publicized. Those men don't end up in court like our brothers and sisters. First of all, you would never see it anyway because they don't end up in the courts you would be in.
Right.
Right.
You know? So These, and I just chimed in for that moment because I just heard the discussion and I just wanted to add the historical context to it. And as I was on the phone waiting to get in, the brother just, you know, he said a lot of things that I was going to say anyway. So, you know,
I would like to keep you on. We only got a few minutes on the show, so if you can stay around, it would be okay. And I say again, most of us are aware enough, okay, to post these articles that we speak about, yet believe me, I know, and it pisses me off, you know, for lack of being, you know, politically correct on the air. It ticks me off to no end to see how our guys are out there being humiliated by police, being shot down like they're hunting game in a forest somewhere. It pisses me off. But on that note, when does it come to down to the point of saying, this is already happening to me out there, the least that I'm going to do is to make sure that my flesh and blood has at least this to go on. The humiliation that we suffer on a daily basis, people who are racist trying to pretend racism doesn't exist, people who are blatantly doing racist things, pretending that there's a legal reason why it happened, trying to appeal to other like-minded idiots to say, well, don't you agree with me? Wouldn't that happen? All of these things. When do we sit up there and take the knowledge that we have for social media activism, okay, and say, my child needs to eat? So Shane is not important today. I don't care
need a catalyst.
Who she was or who he was. When
you
do you think
Katie,
that?
We need a catalyst to address that because it's obvious the shock factor of killing our children is no longer there. You know, you can even see, if you guys get a chance, check out Tariq Nasheed. He's the brother that put together the Hidden Color series.
Mm-hmm.
Check him out on his radio show. He has a weekly radio show, and he also has a Ustream show that he has on. Check that brother out and hear some of the things, some of his responses, and you'd be amazed at how talented, how gifted he is in terms of his insight into the things that's going on. But let me just ask you this. Now, I'm going to bring up a point, and I'm just to validate a point that we made earlier about social conditioning. Alec is paying for the Stand Your Ground laws in Florida. Alec is the lobbyist, is the gun rights lobby. Alec and the NRA. All right. Now we all know that Alec is supported by the Koch brothers, and they
mm-hmm.
have Chick-fil-A's all over the world. Now
mm-hmm.
we can't stop black people from going to Chick-fil-A. Now I'm going to tell you one more thing. Guess who else supports Alec and the NRA? Walmart. Now, Do you think black people are going to stop going to Walmart because they support the gun rights law? And the thing I'm trying to say is it's a condition that we have where, and I'm, excuse my language, we're not syndicated yet, are we?
No, not yet.
Okay, okay. All right. Okay. Cool. Can I just say that to say this thing? We have a fuck that nigga attitude.
Mm-hmm.
And a fuck that bitch attitude. And it really means fuck ourselves.
You right. Know, we have, right.
And,
that's what I've alluded to.
And that's why we have to overcome, because we've been taught that was good, that we have been trained that from the infancy of us being kidnapped and stored into this and brought into this country,
right.
our abduction from the infancy of our abduction to now, we've been taught that it's reinforced. Over and over and over. And now we're saying, damn, y'all could kill us in the street and there's no consequences?
Not even a firecracker.
Yeah. Absolutely. I get that. And I say again that even with all that being said, we have to fight even harder to make a difference for the next generation. And especially, I say this all the time, we cannot control the big mountaintop. We can only control our little backyard. And not saying that that's the only place that we're supposed to be concerned with, because in the community, many backyards affect our backyard. And I'm not dismissing or diminishing the power of that. But believe me when I tell you, I'm not diminishing the fact I grew up in it. I still see it. I have to teach my son every day that you're 16 now, you're pretty tall, they're afraid of us. When you go see a cop, if you should be lost, put your hands out, make sure your arms are out, make sure you don't drink anything, don't put your hood on, don't wear your braid, pick up your pants. I have to teach them all of that, okay? And it pisses me off to no end.
Hey, you know what, Katie?
Yes.
And I'm going to tell you something else. We need to stop addressing our children for not being afraid. We need to start being as brave as our children. Trayvon was as brave as we need to be. Jordan was as brave as we need to be. These children are braver than we are. They're dying for our sins because we're not protecting them. You know, and that goes down to the whole, you know, you mentioned the village raising the children. Well, the village was full of warriors back in the day, and the warriors protected the queens. And now
sure
we
enough.
Don't have warriors in our community anymore. We have young warriors who have no generals.
Come on.
So we have to get to – I'm sorry, brother, you're about to chime in.
Yeah, I think we, you know, we are warriors. I think we just have to get back to our African minds. I beg to differ. I think we are that mountain. I don't think we are. I think we have internalized a lot of untruths. I think we are that mountain. I think everything in history has shown, from sports to science, everything that we've touched, we have not only surpassed the expectations of white America, but you know, we are brilliant, and I think sometimes, you know, we forget that, you know, we are warriors. It's a mind game, and it's like I know it. It's like I smell it, I sense it, and I know that we can recapture our African minds, but we're not going to do it with venom and vitriol. We have to understand that what's going to bring out that warrior, what's going to bring out that fight in us is, believe it or not, is love. And we've forgotten how to just do the simple thing is love each other. If we love each other enough, it's going to make you fight. You know, and we all know about this, how the woman picked up the car when it was her child was, at risk of danger, that adrenaline kicks in. Things will kick in naturally if we, stop this invasion into our collective psyche, our collective consciousness of inferiority that I know has been beaten into us for over 400 years, that we are the greatest people, and it's inherent in our melanin. It's our birthright. We are great. We are tremendous. Your show is tremendous. Your show does reach people. We are a community, and make those conscious connections to say, you know what, we're going to address this first and foremost with love. We're going to see each other as ourselves, the good, the bad, the full spectrum, and we have to dismiss anything that's white that's in our community. It's poison. It's mind poison. The water poison. It's poison to us. They have no interest. This entire system was never ever designed to empower black people. We have to embrace that. We have to recognize that and know that that's the problem. And it's not really that complicated. It's not really that complex. It's very, very simple. Let's get rid of this white consciousness mind that says that, you know, we're in fear. We need them to approve it and be okay. We need to take it to the judge, the court. We need the police. We need this and the other. Those things are designed to keep us right where we are, and that's that chattel, you know, where they can keep banking. They just keep going to the bank, you know, with us. And the courts, if you're in Brooklyn, go in any morning, you'll see a line around the corner of dark-skinned brown people, and all the lawyers going into the other side door are all white, and they don't have to wait in line. And every time I see that image when I'm over there on Borough Hall, I think about slavery. It looks, it smells, it tastes just the same. It's the same thing. It's just in a different way. And that's why these old models, or these models that are given to us, they're never, ever going to work, because it's absent the love that and respect that we're supposed to have for each other. But even just enduring what we've endured for over 400 years is a hell of an accomplishment. I feel like I'm a warrior. This brother that's on the phone is a warrior. Katie, you a warrior. We have to tap into that consciousness. And we have to realize that what's at stake is our future, which is our young.
Absolutely. Deacon, you weigh in on this one.
I was so off into the conversation, because it was really, really deep, and you hit on a lot of points to where you both are right on. My thing is, we as a people have to start working a lot closer to each other. Let's put down these doggone cell phones and these computers and start being in close contact with one another, because we're out of touch with one another. And that's not working. It's not working at all. Excuse me. We are so distant from one another that is crazy. excuse me. We need to start teaching some of our young men that is not a chest beating thing to, because you have a disagreement with someone, that you run and go get a gun and blow somebody away. That doesn't make you a man. And another thing, to teach them that they don't disrespect these young women that are out here. And I really want to stress that, because I've lost two nieces to a violent crimes from their boyfriends. I've also lost two nephews and a godson to gang violence. So I'm out here in the community constantly trying to educate some of our young people and letting them know on the real true facts of life, because if we start sitting back and just saying, well, you can't go on, these kids are not listening to you, these young people will listen. It's just that they just have to know that they have somebody that's there that cares about what's going on. And we have to catch them as they're young, because some of the young men that are much older than the ones that I'd be dealing with, they can be reached also, but you have to let them know. It don't make you no man to be out here to have babies all over the community. That's not no man. And then if you got babies all over the community, you better be able to take care of each and every last one of them. No excuses.
Judge told a story in one of her cases, and I allude to her often because she's one of the few people that I truly admire as a black success icon. And one of the things that she had brought up to the wife in the situation was this. She said that there was, when she was growing up, there was a neighbor that her mom was friends with. And the neighbor had an ex-husband that the neighbor and this ex-husband did not get along. But every single day, this man was fixing something on the house, coming over to mow the grass, coming over to fix a car, coming over to take out the garbage, fix the garage door, whatever. So one day, one of the friends in the circle that her mother and this neighbor runs with stopped and went up to the man and said, "Why do you do this every day? She's always cussing you out." You know, he says, regardless of what I'm going through with her, if I don't take care and make sure she's good, then my kids aren't good. Okay?
Right.
Even if it meant that he had to walk to work while she got to drive the kids around, he said that that's what made him feel that he was doing his job and that his children had the best stepping stone and springboard into life that they could have. Okay? The more that we teach our children that that's the way to go, and that in addition, as an African-American, you have twice the obstacles out there. So the least you could do is make sure your inner circle is okay. The better a chance they have of growing up. We got, as my dad used to say, one foot in the grave and the other one on a banana peel.
Mm-hmm.
Meaning
now,
that any day we can drop dead to something, be it a bullet, be it an illness that's taking over now with all these manufactured things that's going on, be it with the bad drinks and the bad food that we think we're giving ourselves nutrition with. It's coming out badly. So the least that we could do is try to say, I know what's out there, but this is what I see in my face. This is the choices I can make. You're
right.
Going to save the problem.
Oh, you know, the irony is, and I thank you, brother, for correcting when I said that we were the child. What I truly am trying to imply is that we are in a dormant state, you know,
mm-hmm.
as a people, and we need a wake-up call. But one of the things that happened to me today is I work with young black males all the time, and mm-hmm. I had a few with me today in a mall as I was working with them.
Mm-hmm.
And one of them had an issue with the police over the weekend.
Mm-hmm.
And in this particular township, in Willow Grove, in Abington
mm-hmm.
Township outside of Philadelphia, is extremely racist.
Mm-hmm.
And I informed them. I said, you know, you're lucky you didn't end up dead.
That's
and
right.
then as we started to talk, my voice got raised a little bit, and I started breaking down the significance of Jordan Davis, Trayvon Martin,
mm-hmm.
and I started running off all the other names that,
mm-hmm.
that are publicized. And I started breaking it down to you, young brother. Said, these people around you don't like you. They hate you for who you are.
Mm-hmm.
They make up rules and laws to kill you, and you give them the ammunition when you try to fit into them, when you're trying to chase their daughters, and you're doing all these different things. They
mm-hmm.
don't want you to be a part of their system. And I did it strategically because I wanted them to see I'm not afraid to speak truth to power. So it was
right.
a chess
right.
move in that direction because I wanted them to understand you don't have to be afraid to speak truth to white folk. We don't have
right.
to talk
right.
about white folk in hushed and whispered tones. We can look them in the eye and make sure that we have our eye. It's not about a mutual respect with them anymore. It's letting them know I got my eye on you. And it was a powerful moment because people in the food court just would stop eating. And I noticed two things. I noticed how the whites were looking at me, and I noticed how the blacks were looking at me. The whites were looking at me because I would say things like, they talk about us in disparaging ways when we're not around that you'll never hear about. And they would
right.
sit there, and, you know, you could tell they would sit there thinking, well, how does he know that? And then you could see the blacks get scared, pick up their trays, and leave without finishing their food.
Mm.
You know, Professor, it's funny you should yeah. mention that particular story. Deacon, I believe you posted this video today where there was an incident, and I didn't catch the state, but I'm going to tell you right now. There was a black American gentleman that was in a parking lot drinking an Arizona half and half iced tea. Okay?
Yeah.
And he
that was in Chicago.
Yeah, okay, good, Chicago. He was waiting for friends outside of call it like a Target or a Walmart-type store. And out of nowhere comes a white man who says he was a cop and wanted to know what the man was drinking. Okay, now this young brother, mind you, his friend is the brother's friend is taping the entire incident, and this man is acting like, I don't give a damn, I'm going to do what I got to do. You know,
mm-hmm.
he made the
mm-hmm.
mistake of assuming that the can was an alcoholic beverage. Meanwhile,
right.
this brother is telling him, well, he's holding it in his own hand. Look what it says. It's alcohol. It's not alcoholic. It's made with tea and lemonade.
okay?
Right.
But the officer was insisting that he put it in his hand. Meanwhile, this man is taping the whole thing, and he's like, leave the property. Leave the property for what? What did I do? I made a purchase. I'm allowed to be in here. I'm a customer. The whole thing. This boy winds up getting arrested for absolutely no damn reason. And the way that this man arrested this young fella was putting him on the floor and then telling the guy with the camera to leave the property. And meanwhile, the guy with the camera stood his ground and was like, no, I'm leaving, but you ain't going to, I don't live out here, so I'm not going to get arrested. But this is absolute BS. So I do know exactly what it is that they go through every day, which is even more the reason why, A, the court should never get involved with a child support issue, because there shouldn't be a child support issue if you had a child, and B, we need to stand up even more. Now, we are down to our last 4 minutes, so before I have any mic drops, any cuts, please let me say goodnight. Tomorrow, ladies and gentlemen, I am going to be speaking on the... Let me say, giving celebrityhood to these killers, such as George Zimmerman and Michael Dunn, when the media is allowing these men to have private personal interviews, TV appearances, things to that effect, exactly what is that saying for the value of the victims' lives that they took? Okay?
That is open season on us.
We are going to be speaking on that, and we are going to be speaking, and hopefully all of you will join me in so that we can say on the air that we don't want this to happen. Thursday, we're going to be speaking on Jordan Davis a little more, but more so we're highlighting the case of Lavina Johnson. And those of you who don't know, young, beautiful African-American boy that was raped, genitals, acid, her teeth was taken out the whole night, and they said it was a suicide. Nobody wants to do anything right now.
Yeah.
So we're going to speak against that, and that is what's going to be on for the next 2 days. So I pray that all of you will be here to help us voice our outrage about the entire situation. So until tomorrow night, everybody, be blessed. Be a blessing, make a difference, and God bless all of you.
Thank you for doing this. Can I real quick just give out my name? It's Tylon Washington. If anyone wants to friend me on Facebook, that would be absolutely fine. I don't just talk about it. I be about it. I have three successful businesses. In any way that I can help any of you who are on this phone, including Katie, please feel free to reach out. I don't just talk about it. I be about it. Thank you very much for the conversation.
Tylon, I do need you to forward me your business info. I would like to include you in listing it on our website market page, as well as promoting you. Oh, my God. I'll do the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you. I do apologize. Patrick, if you're listening, tonight's episode was sponsored by Patrick Irvine. He's on our group. I am so sorry. Got caught up with the excitement of the topic. Patrick Irvine and the Think Free and Be Free Coaching LLC company, this man is amazing in support and outreach to the community, such as you are, gentlemen on this panel. And I do want to say that I thank you very much. He purchased a sponsorship today and didn't even tell me. I found out about it. So thank you for your continuous support and your continuous outreach to the community, to helping our group, everything, Patrick. I appreciate it. And because I forgot...
How can I do that?
I will let you know that after the broadcast. Mr. Irvine, because I forgot you today and I kind of took out what goes with the contract of sponsorship, tomorrow, sir, I'm extending your sponsorship purchase to tomorrow's show as well. So I want to thank all of you very much once again, and God bless all of you.
God bless you. All right.
Amen.
Good night, all.
On the Edge, real talk about real issues.